Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
What is the most famous marriage in history? Can you guess? What is the most famous marriage in history? Is it the marriage of Princess Diana and Prince Charles? Is it the marriage of Grace Kelly and Prince Rainier of Monaco? Is it Beyoncé and Jay-Z? No, it's none of those. Not even the marriage of the Kardashians. No, not at all. The most famous marriage in history is the wedding at Cana. Hey, I'm Marge Steinhag-Fenlon. Welcome to Simply Holy, the podcast for people who want to live a joyful life in Christ. Today we're talking about the most famous marriage in history, the wedding at Cana. Now, think about this. All of these other famous marriages that I mentioned, we have a name. We know the people. We know exactly where they're from, basically who they are. And I mean, they're famous, right? But the couple at Cana, we don't even know their names. We don't even know their names. Imagine that. Is that something? Has it ever occurred to you that we've mentioned this in scripture? There is so much Catholic literature on the marriage at Cana, but we don't even know their names. We don't know their names. We don't know who married them. We don't know really who was on the guest list, except we do know that the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Mother Mary, was invited. And then by extension, Jesus and his disciples. That's all we know. Now, we think that it could be that these were relatives of Mary. That's what scripture scholars think. They obviously can't be proven. No one knows. It's not in scripture. But here's another interesting thing about the wedding at Cana, the marriage at Cana in scripture. It is the only occasion in scripture, in all of scripture, in which Mary is mentioned before Jesus. That's right. Go look it up. Mary is mentioned before Jesus in the narrative of the marriage at Cana. Intriguing, isn't it? So, let me tell you a little bit about Eastern marriages. You know, when I traveled with a group of journalists through Jordan, the country of Jordan, we crashed a wedding. We didn't mean to. We were visiting a church, and it happened that a marriage was occurring. We were actually interviewing the priest who was the pastor of this parish, and for our research, and you know, he said, "Hey, you know, there's a wedding starting. Why don't you come?" And so we did. It was beautiful. It was, I'll have to do another podcast on it sometime. It was beautiful. But what we learned when we were there, and which was also true in Jesus's time, was that an Eastern marriage, the marriage celebration could last anywhere from 2 to 7 days. Can you imagine that? Oh my goodness. You know, I mean, think about all the hoopla we go through for a marriage that is only, the celebration is only one day, one evening, as a matter of fact. But in the Eastern marriages, it was 2 to 7 days. And throughout those days, it was the host's responsibility to continue to feed and give drink to the guests, to provide the music and the comfort, the servants, 2 to 7 days. Well, they run out of wine. We know the story. They run out of wine. Who notices it, though? Think about that. The servant didn't notice it. The head waiter didn't notice it. Who? Mary. The Blessed Mother Mary is the one who noticed it. And she tells Jesus that they're out of wine. They have no wine. Now, why in the world would she care? Well, because she is a caring mother. Because in that day and age, as likely now with any Eastern wedding, it would be a terrible embarrassment for the hosts to run out of wine in the middle of the celebrations. A terrible embarrassment. Hospitality is so primary to those Eastern cultures. It's so primary that this would have been heartbreak and embarrassment for the wedding couple. And so the Blessed Mother asks Jesus. She doesn't even ask him outright. She says they have no wine. But he knows exactly what she means. He knows that she's bringing this up to him because she is asking him to do something about it. Now, why? Why? Because she knows. She knows that Jesus is God. She knows that he's able to perform miracles. Now, how did she know? Remember, this will be the marriage at Cana. This is the first public miracle that Jesus ever performs. So it had to have been, if you just do the reasoning, it had to have been that the Blessed Mother witnessed Jesus doing miracles prior to that. Probably smaller miracles within their family. And so she knows. She knows his power. She knows what he's capable of doing. She knows that he is able to save this couple from embarrassment. And there's another little interesting motherly thing, aspect to this. Now, remember that Jesus came and he brought all his disciples. Okay, that's a handful of people. So you've got already the host couple that is already providing for a number of guests. And then in walks Jesus with a great handful of additional guests, unexpected guests. So these unexpected additional guests would have further stressed not only the wine supply, but the food supply. So was Mary kind of hinting to Jesus, well, you know, you brought all your buddies and now look what's happening. They're running out of wine. Because remember that Jesus and his disciples, right before coming to the marriage at Cana, they had been on the road, the hot, dusty road, for days. I'm sure they were tired, thirsty, and needing sustenance. Okay, so the Blessed Mother tells Jesus, hey, they have no wine. As in, you know, you guys have been eating and drinking at the expense of this couple. Maybe we could do something for them. So what does Jesus do? He tells her something very important, and he calls her woman. Now, there's debate, or some people, I should say, who take offense to that, that Jesus, instead of saying, well, mom or mother, he calls her woman. And in my younger days, I actually took offense to it because I didn't fully understand it. But now I do fully understand it. So here's what's going on there. Mary isn't only asking Jesus to regenerate the wine supply. Her request that he perform his first public miracle means something tremendous. It means that if Jesus performs this public miracle, he will begin the road to the cross. He says, woman, my hour has not yet come. What is this to me? In other words, it wasn't time yet. In the Heavenly Father's plan, it wasn't time yet for Jesus to make his divinity known. And here's the Blessed Mother saying, hey, please, please do something. And Jesus knows that if he performs this public miracle, it will reveal his divinity and set him on the path toward the cross, because people will understand that, wait a minute, who is this, the Son of God, and all of those things, and that we've just been through Eastertide, Lent, and so we know what happens. You know, Jesus is accused and hunted down, and so Jesus knows that if he performs this miracle, it begins. He'll be hunted down. He'll be skepticized. He'll be spied upon. He'll be followed on and on. It'll begin his road to the cross. So he calls her woman. Why is that? Because when Jesus' divinity is revealed, it marks him as the Son of God, as the new Adam. Remember, Adam was instrumental in the fall of man. Jesus is instrumental in the salvation of man. That makes him the new Adam. The church teaches he is the new Adam. Well, Eve was the woman who facilitated. I hate always pin the blame on Eve for accepting the challenge of the evil one. But she facilitates the fall of man by her choice to listen to the devil. Well, the Blessed Mother, through her choice, her yes to become the mother of the Son of God, she is becoming the facilitator of the salvation of man. So she's the new Eve. So if Jesus performs this miracle at the wedding in Cana, this will reveal them both as the new Adam and the new Eve. Woman, as in the scripture, the woman will be at enmity with the devil. You see? So she becomes that woman who stands strong, who is revealed now as the woman who crushes the head of the serpent. So he's saying, do you realize what this means for both of us? This changes my role, but it also changes yours, dear mother. It's a big deal. The marriage at Cana is a big deal for that reason, that revealing of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ and the revealing of the Blessed Mother as the woman in Scripture that crushes the head of the serpent. At that moment, she becomes then not only Jesus' mother, but she is moving down the path now to become the mother of all of us, as our Lord asked her as he hung dying on the cross. Remember that, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. This is what it's all about. And so that moment is more than just saving a wedding couple from embarrassment. Now, I hope that you'll meditate on this and really think about the meaning of the marriage at Cana. It truly is the most famous marriage in history. It truly is. And I will tell you something else about this scene in Scripture. What does Mary say again to Jesus? She says, they have no wine. Meaning, son, I need you to perform a miracle here. I need you to fulfill a human need. She does this for us. So at the foot of the cross, she became our mother. She also became for us an intercessor, just like the wedding at Cana. When we need something, she turns to her son and she tells them, son, they have no wine. That is my, if you've heard me speak at a speaking engagement, you've likely heard me say this at one time or another. This is my go-to prayer. When I don't know how else to pray, when it feels like everything is caving in on me, when my family is lacking something very important, my prayer will be, Mother, we have no wine. Mother, they have no wine. Maybe it's something that I'm lacking spiritually. I'm run dry and just feeling depleted spiritually. It can happen. I do a lot of videos and speaking and reaching out to people, and it can happen that I get to a point where I can feel like I'm running dry of inspiration. And what is my prayer? Mother, I have no wine. And she turns to her son, and she tells her son, son, Marge has no wine. Son, that family has no wine. Please change their water into wine. She will do this for you, my friend. I guarantee it. I promise. Try it. Try it. Think about the marriage at Cana. Then I challenge you. Try this prayer. When you're really run dry, whether it's materially, spiritually, emotionally, simply turn to your mother and say, Mother, I have no wine, and see what happens. I dare say your water will be turned into wine in one way or another. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Please, please do me a favor. Subscribe to my channel. The more subscribers I get, then the more the video will be shown again, and the more people who will see it, then the more people can learn about our Blessed Mother, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the most famous marriage in history. Please also check out my website, margefenelon.com. My books are there. You can find me there with my blog, my religious articles I have for sale. You can discover how to book me for your speaking engagement. My other videos are there. It's all there, margefenelon.com. You can also find out there how to donate to my Give, Send, Go campaign. I am looking to expand my ministry. Better videos, more content, some updates and improvements to my website to bring you greater resources. Well, in order to do that, I need some funding. And so I'm asking you just to consider the price of a cup of coffee. Simple. Give, send, go. My account, my campaign link is down below in the comments. Check it out. And God bless you. But we have no wine. Tell the blessing.